This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Us guys always get it wrong. We ain't got a brain, just trying to keep it saying what we ain't really got it like, y'all. We the type of dude that will check the text twice, auto crack dying, never getting wrong. Those two Jews always help with a problem, you know. Send an email in to the greatest show. Jake and Amir always know how to help you out. Never doubt these two motherfuckers acting like they were. You got in on what to do with some Monday blast. With your girlfriend complaining that you come too fast. Shit, well, shoving an edible up your ass. That's fine, by dumb, it's just another college class. With Jake and Amir, if I were you, the Vice show coming in. Tell ya, yeah.
Was that a Little Dicky parody?
It was. Good eye.
Good ear.
And better nose.
I have the best nose of all.
You smelled it out. And if you would believe it, I mean, if you can believe it, that was Justin Goncalves, of course.
Oh, man. Just a fucking beast. A behemoth. A titan of the industry.
That was a Little Dicky parody. And he says, shout out his Insta. Follow me at the best year 96. By the way, it's still private, but I will accept and maybe follow back.
Whoa, maybe a follow back. Get out of here, dude.
Somebody told me recently that setting your Insta to private could get you more followers because there's like probably 1% to 2% of people on your page are lurking. And if they can't lurk, they'll follow.
I have heard that before. I've heard that. And I think that's kind of interesting, but I don't know. I don't care enough.
I want to give it a go. I'm dangerously close to 100K followers. And if I can squeeze out like another 1,000 from going private, I don't know, maybe it's worth it.
I'm not bitter. I'm not like mad, but I have 30,000 less 33,000 less followers than you. That's not okay. I'm not mad, but I'm like, I'm sad and I'm a little pissed at you.
Don't be.
Obviously.
No, it has nothing to do with like me. Obviously, it's just like more people want to, I guess, see my pictures.
Well, that has a lot to do with you then. Don't say it has nothing to do with you. It has everything. You just made it like you made it entirely about you.
I want it to be about me is all.
Well, I just.
I have two theories as to why I have more followers than you.
Okay.
One is cynical and one is natural and organic. Which one do you want first?
The cynical that you're just more famous than I am?
And
that okay.
That's true, but it's not what I was going to say.
Well, you're an asshole. Go ahead.
The fact that my name is Amir leads to a bunch of confused Iranian Persians who accidentally follow me because they think they're following their friend Amir something else.
Okay. I like that.
And you'll notice at the bottom of every one of my photos devolves into some sort of Farsi chat room with people, I assume, speaking ill about me because I'm not actually Persian.
So here's a question, just before you get into your second reason. If you went private and then you were getting lots of Persian requests, would you accept them knowing that it was likely not requesting to follow you for your Hebrew comedy routine?
Yes.
You would? Okay.
Yeah, I like the fact that I have like a foolhardy 10% of people following me accidentally.
All right, cool. All right, so what's the second reason that's more organic?
I post more.
That's fair.
I post more pictures of me, joke stories. I'm more active on Instagram, so I deserve more followers on there.
I don't think you deserve more followers. I post really high quality content. It's few and far between, but each post is meticulously crafted, entirely thought out, mapped, planned for months in advance.
You're getting
the highest caliber of content from me, whereas you fart out
precious.
A story. Huh?
Yeah, the more you post, the more people share, the more people talk, the more followers you get.
I'm going to change my name to the name of a Farsi queen and see if it does anything for me.
Yeah, like, I don't know, Giselle, J-I-Z-E-L. Yeah. See if that's available.
All right, whatever. Let's record this podcast. I only have like 5 minutes today, so let's just get out of the way.
What? You only have 5 minutes? These episodes take 45.
Yeah, I know. I honestly have to jet now, but I'm doing you a solid because I'm late. I am supposed to meet Jill and her family.
Where?
I'm meeting Jill and her family at a restaurant in Midtown.
You're disappointing everybody.
It's Jill's dad's birthday.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. You're either going to be late to them or you're...
Well, I'm already late, so that's why I really have to jet in
you're
5.
You're already late.
Yeah.
You scheduled a podcast for when you were going to be needed to be somewhere else. That's obviously bad.
I'm burning the candle at both ends to be sure, yeah. But I didn't think that I would... I think you can arrive fashionably late to a four-person dinner, and that's kind of fine.
A four-person dinner? No, you're 25% of the wedding party. Are you showered? Okay. Are you ready to go? Like, as soon as we stop, you're going to be able to, like, head over?
Yes, I'm ready. My shoes are on. I'm ready to go. I have to do my hair and change.
Oh, no.
But I'm...
Yeah.
I'm mostly ready, and I just
your
have
shoes
to...
shoes are on, but you have to change.
I have to change because I'm not wearing an outfit that I can wear to this dinner because it's...
Are you showered?
I haven't showered, but I don't need to shower.
Yes, you do.
I'll just... Okay. So I have to... Then I really have to jet in like 2 minutes.
You really had to jet before we got started. You really had to jet. You're sort of committed. Yeah,
now we're recording, so I have 5 minutes max. Let's try to...
No.
Bang out one question, and then I really should be at this.
We're not banging anything out.
This was a hard
it's
reservation
a
to
podcast.
Get. Jill got this reservation 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, I confirmed. She reconfirmed.
Yeah.
Double checked.
She knows
with
you were
me.
Likely to do something like this. Yeah.
She's texting now. Hold
of
on.
Of course.
Where are you? So I have to. All right. Just let me fire off a quick text.
What are you going to tell her?
I said on the subway platform. On the subway platform, sorry, Amir was being a real diva today.
Send. I was okay. being a diva? That's why you're on a subway platform?
Well, she knew I had to record a podcast, and she said that just I should do it earlier.
Yeah.
Because I promised that I was going to be at this dinner. I yes. was supposed to pick up the present that she got her dad, which I still have to
oh
do.
Oh, my God. Oh
so
my God.
I have to absolutely jet
you're
soon
a,
because...
You're
yeah,
a
I
poor
have,
husband to her.
This dinner I have to be at. I'm supposed to be at 10 minutes ago with a present.
Yeah, having had
a gift. So
let's get into it then. This is If I Were You, advice show, only advice podcast on the internet hosted
She's
by us.
She's fucking calling me.
Of course. I'm Amir.
I'm Josh.
You're not. You're on the phone. Holy shit, you picked up.
I'm going to have to answer it sooner or later. All right, let's go. Let's get it done.
All right, this is a question, as always, real questions, real people. Send them on down to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. This one we got just last week is a 25-year-old white guy.
Okay.
You got a name for a 25-year-old white guy?
Todd.
That's good. Todd writes, I'm a 25-year-old white guy. I promise this is relevant. Currently at an MBA program down in San Diego. I got this summer internship at this real estate development office through one of my executives here. The people I work with are a bit more conservative than the people I worked with when I was living in Portland, so maybe I'm overreacting. Mm. But for the past 2 days, there's been a mug in the kitchen that's that says "No hablo fuck tardo."
Jesus,
really strange. Yeah, it's there's a decent amount of construction on our floor since I started, and most of the workers are Hispanic. I don't know whose mug it is. I've been here for 3 weeks now, and I don't think anyone here would be the type to own a mug like this. However, I could be wrong. They're generally middle-aged white men and women, so who knows? I'm not really sure what to do here. I feel like it's my duty as the intern to do slash say something since I won't be here in a couple months, and I don't plan on working here when I graduate next year. Hopefully you can shed some light on what one should do in terms of standing up for human rights as the new guy in the office. Thanks. Love, Todd.
Interesting. So he wants to stand up. He's not saying, like, should I? He's like, I think I should. He wants to, and he wants our help.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to know what to do as some sort of social justice.
As a vigilante hero.
Yeah. No hablo fuck tardo.
Speaking of vigilantes, I feel like this is something that John Wolfe is known to do, to sow discord in an office. He'll get an offensive mug.
Which is legal, right?
Which is legal. You can pick them up on Canal Street. You can order them online. They're, you know, yeah. there are mean mugs out there. Like, yeah. The world was made with Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, is an example of a homophobic mug.
See. Yeah, yeah.
And he would pick up something like that and just leave it in a kitchen,
in a company kitchen,
like a common area. And that's not because he's racist or homophobic. He just knows he likes chaos, obviously, and he'll sow discord.
Yeah, he often sows discord.
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, you have to be certain that this is not a John Wolfe type vigilante prank.
Yeah. And then, okay, so this specific mug, no hablo fuck tardo.
No hablo, not hablo.
Are we sure that that's
fucking gringo?
An anti-Spanish, is that a speak English or go home to situation?
I honestly don't know. It's like either offensive to Hispanic people or to like mentally disabled or handicapped people. Like,
the fact that it's no hablo means like it seems like Spanish specific. That's the one thing we do know.
But I think it's like I don't speak stupid. I think that that's what the mug means, right? Like,
right.
I know I don't understand moron.
Yeah, but in Spanish for some reason.
But it's not. I don't feel like it's calling Spanish that slur. I don't know.
There's enough
gray area here to make this mug not worth drinking your coffee out of. You can just have like a plain mug.
Yeah. The question is no hablo like specifically Spanish, or is it like common language at this point where it's like hasta la vista fuck tardo?
You wouldn't
necessarily think that that's a Spanish specific slur. It's just like it's common language at this point.
I would think that the fucktardo is the offensive phrase here.
Like that's the name of the. I mean, I can see like somebody speaking Spanish and then like a close-minded white American saying "No hablo fucktardo" to him.
Right,
and
that's
then,
true.
Like, that's giggling about it, getting the mug for it.
Is anyone in your office wearing a "Make America Great Again" hat? That's a good question. That's a good. You know, try to survey that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he doesn't want to, like, let this be a slippery slope.
Right.
But again, he's saying he's leaving soon. So maybe if you don't want to, like, ruffle any feathers, last day you steal the mug.
I would say, I think you break the mug and then you write a company-wide email that says, "Hey, Todd, the intern here, I had a mishap in the kitchen, and I sadly broke someone's mug. It said no hablo fuck tardo on it.
It read.
So if this is your mug, please reply all, and so we know who you are. I'll buy you a less offensive mug. Smiley face.
And then, like, since everyone is in it together, it's this, like, I am Spartacus situation where everybody starts replying all, taking ownership and onus over the mug.
Right. Well, I guess that's when you know you have to quit. But, like, what if this is... I feel like an internship, you can be the vigilante. You can leave since you don't want to work there, but like you still might want a reference. Like your next job might want to call your boss and
yeah.
I guess so you don't want to do anything too crazy, but I don't think it's that crazy to like just say, "Hey, this mug offends me.
Sorry."
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. So, would you steal the mug, break the mug, do nothing about the mug?
I think break the mug. I guess I personally would throw the mug away and never say anything about it.
Oh, I see.
Because whoever bought that mug kind of has a... They're, it's like right morally for them to like sort of have that as like a nagging thing at them for the rest of their life. Like, what happened to my mug? Where did it go? Like, that'll be just a question that hangs over them. And they'll never know the answer.
It's the guy that shows up in a No Hablo Fucktardo shirt.
Yeah, I guess you'll be able to figure it out.
It's someone just that will Cafe write Press had a 2-for-1 deal.
God, what if the person writes an all email and is like, "Hey, someone, did anyone take my favorite mug? It was a red mug and it said No Hablo Fucktardo on it."
Yeah, I also had a mug that said No Hablo Fucktardo.
I have a mug like that, but I keep it at my house.
Mine's a pint glass.
I have a mug like that, but it's a thermos.
I have a swell bottle that says No Hablo Fucktardo, but I don't think I brought it to work that day.
Yeah, I throw it away. Toss it.
Here's another question from an office space.
All right, this one's well, from I just have one question because I really have to get out of here.
No, it can't stress enough how little time it's been. It's been like a little over 15 minutes.
Well, I do just want to quickly answer this because Jill's called me 3 times. Just 1 second. We can edit this. Jesus Christ. Let's just edit this part out of the podcast. Hold right. on.
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Oh, my God. Hey.
No, I know. I'm on the subway. I got really sick. I threw up on the train. But I'm okay.
Holy
I'm okay
shit.
Now. I'm good.
Pathological I'm, prick.
I'm going to get a taxi, so I'll be there in 5 minutes.
I'll be there in 5 minutes. Don't say that. You're lying.
Yeah. No, don't order without me because I want to.
Oh my God, you selfish ass. You guys okay. Don't order.
All right, I love you so much. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Oh my God, you're already lying. Just say you can't come.
I did get the present. Don't worry. I got the present. He's going to love it. All right, I love you. Bye. All right, let's fart out one more question.
No,
and then
we're not going to fart anything out. Your lies are so easily traceable. They're going to be proven wrong very quickly. Don't say you're going to be there in 5 minutes. Don't say don't order without me.
Well, she's going to be pissed if I'm not there in 5 minutes. So what do you want me to do? Have her yell at me on the phone? No.
Just say, if you're going to lie, just say I puked. I don't feel well. I'm going to stay at home.
Well, I want to get there for dinner because I think it's going to be really tasty. And I think it'll be a nice time. And
it will be a nice time because you're not dressed. You haven't showered. You're 45 minutes away.
I don't need to shower.
You haven't got the gift.
I really don't need to shower. I went on like a run, but I'm not even that sweaty. So I need to change out of my running, my gym clothes, and then I just need to get on the... Maybe I'll call an Uber because I'll... To Midtown right now in an Uber is only like 40 minutes. So yeah. All right, let's do it. We really got to get this question answered so I can jet.
All right. You know what? Let's take a break. We'll thank some sponsors while you sort this shit out. Then we'll answer some more questions after.
That's great. But let's take a really quick break.
All right. Fine. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five.
Woo! No, I don't. Neither do you. So let's keep the show moving.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a shower right after workout might be a good one. Like, you don't want to, like, just sit around in your sweat sometimes. Like,
yeah, well, I had to do that today because I had to do that today because I went to the gym. I went on a run, yeah. And then I had to jump on this podcast before.
Like, oftentimes you let that sweat dry, and I think that's when, like, the problems arise, you know, in terms of odor and pores getting clogged. You really want to, like...
One sec, I got to take this.
Oh, no.
Hey, baby. No, I'm feeling a lot better.
You don't sound it.
I'm in a cab.
You're obviously not in a cab.
I'm on 48th and Park. I'm 2 blocks away.
Oh, my God.
I'm 2 blocks away, baby.
You're right.
Don't
two
worry,
blocks
don't
away?
Worry.
I don't, She's no, going to no. know.
Because I need to look at the menu. That's why.
Holy shit.
All right. I love you. Bye. Okay. Sorry. I got a little short with her at the end there.
Yes. Like, really, why are you apologizing to me? You got short with her. You're telling her not to order. You're still 45 minutes away from...
Well, I'm just worried because I want to be able to see what the specials are and stuff.
Yeah, just don't worry.
And it's not like they're like I'm just pissed too because like the waiter there is like obviously rushing them because there's like another reservation because like
right.
we're like half an hour into this one and they're like, well, yeah. You guys have to order so we can get the other reservations yeah. on time. But like that's they should plan for that kind of this kind of stuff to happen. And it's not my it's
plan
not my
for
fault.
One. Yeah, they should plan for one of the people being a complete asshole.
Well, they should
arriving
just,
over an hour late.
Oh, real nice.
To order with
real nice. I'm an asshole.
Yes.
I'm an asshole. I told yeah. you I had to go in a minute when we started recording.
Yeah.
I said I had to go. I said I had to jet when we started right. recording.
Right.
And you've kept me on the horn for near half an hour, and now I'm late. I was already late when we started, and I'm
of
now
course.
Even more late.
All right. Another workplace question is what I was saying. We
okay.
need a girl's name.
Okay. Let's get it done. A girl's. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We just have to record. We have to finish. So it doesn't matter. Let's just unname this person. No name.
Talking faster won't get us to the 45-minute mark.
Fine. Fucking
sooner.
Daphne.
Fine.
It's fucking Daphne.
Daphne writes. What?
Fucking Daphne writes. Go.
This isn't like a distance thing where we're trying to finish a race fast. We're going to go for another 20 minutes regardless of how many questions we get through.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You told Jill you were two blocks away.
I wish I hadn't done that. Because now I'm going to get caught in my fucking web of lies.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I've been saying from the beginning.
Okay. I'll figure something out. I can get myself out of this jam. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Daphne writes, I'm in a stinky situation. Ooh. I just started a new job as an administrative assistant, and my desk is near the front door, which is great, but it's also near a single-person bathroom for everyone upstairs. I don't think this is a problem until the first person came out and left the door open, and I got a waft of that poop/Febreze smell we all know and love.
Duty.
It's getting worse, though.
Yeah.
Everyone here poops and leaves the door wide open for it to air out, and the smell comes right to my desk. I can't light a candle at my desk, and I don't want to spray my own Febreze every time someone comes out because they'd feel embarrassed. So what can I do to alleviate my nose and make this job seem not so, quote, shitty?
Huh. Hum.
It's tough because you're the new person there. You don't want to be like, can I move desks already? It smells like shit.
Yeah, what I mean, geez, but like, that's just, that's offensive. It's unacceptable. It's no way to live your life. It's just like inhaling shit and Febreze.
Yeah,
Yeah, maybe you could ask about just like moving your desk away. I think you can ask. You don't have to say why. You could say
desk,
I just don't want to be.
She's the administrative assistant. Maybe she's like greeting people as they enter. Her desk is at the front.
Hmm. There's maybe something you could do to the bathroom. Like, what's the deal there? Is there a fan? It sounds like there might not be if people are leaving or opening the door to air it out.
Yeah. What about a stick that pushes the door closed every time somebody leaves?
Yeah, that's interesting. A stick?
Yeah, so you got the stick. So as everyone leaves, you take the stick out, and then you're like, eh. And then you jam the door closed, you know?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea to have a stick that'll shut the door, or like a pole or a rod.
Yeah,
having a stinky stick, that's nice.
Yeah,
a dowel. Yeah. But like,
and when people ask you what it is, be like, "Oh, this is my stinky stick." Whenever someone takes a fat shit and doesn't close the door, I get to close it with my stinky stick.
Right. I could even if my stinky stick were another foot longer, I could flush the toilet for you and wipe your ass too. But then I worry that you become, instead of the administrative assistant, you just sort of become like a more of a custodian, that you're just focused on the bathroom and people's shitting habits.
Yeah.
I feel like to do your best work, you need to rid yourself of this problem, not double down on like solving it every time someone shits, you know?
Yeah.
This has to be dealt with and disposed of, much like shit itself. What about those little, what about poopery? We got that at the office and it kind of worked. A big book of matches. I really think there has to be more, there needs to be more options inside the bathroom for the people shitting. That's where the root of this problem is for me.
So you go straight to the source. You get the poopery, which is the spray that you spray the toilet water surface, and when the shit goes in there, it sort of creates a seal that doesn't allow the aroma to come out.
Yeah, maybe you just like make a little poop-smelling basket for people in the bathroom. That's a one-time activity, and you're like, everyone please use this. Or like, yeah, you know, that's all you got to do. That's all you can do. Matches, poopery, some of those like little oil, those like little sticks in the oil that smell nice.
Well, yeah, the poop sticks, the shit sticks that
I was
talking about.
That's another, it's another term of the shit stick. And then I think the other idea is maybe you angle your desk away from the bathroom. I don't know how close you are to the bathroom, but if there's like a different angle you could sit at, so the smell is hitting the back of your head instead of the front of your face, that might be a little better.
Or smells like that, though? Smells feel like more like a cloud that permeate, not like a laser that shoots. Like, you can't turn your back on a smell.
Right, but you can kind of, like, escape a smell by, like, putting your nose into your shirt or something.
What about you can never turn your back on a smell? I'm just thinking about, like, a catchphrase or, like, an idea or an emotion to tap into in terms of being, like, a Febreze or almost like a... What's it called when you have like something in your car, like the tree like that you hang in the mirror?
The air freshener?
Yeah, like an air freshener.
You want to get into smelling slogans and you couldn't come up with the words air freshener?
Yeah, like what's it called when...
I just don't think you're there. I don't think you're there. You're not ready.
So imagine this. A mother and a daughter are grocery shopping. She's stressed. We start in on a close-up of the shopping cart nipping at the back of her heels. Ah, we've all been there before, right?
Sorry, this is a commercial about smelling, and she's a shopping cart hits somebody's heels. That's the first.
Yeah, she's taking her paper bag, and one of them just tears open at the bottom, and it spills loose quinoa everywhere in the parking lot. People are honking at her. It's hot. The daughter, as a goof, just keeps like running in that fucking shopping cart into her heels, right? But
so it's not a mistake. Yeah, she has a malicious daughter now.
It's a newly resurfaced blacktop. Sorry, don't interrupt me. It's a newly resurfaced like blacktop.
Don't interrupt.
Right?
Is this a pitch now or a brainstorm? I didn't realize.
Can you stop talking? There's heat waves coming out of the asphalt. It's so hot. It's like a desert oasis. She finally gets into her car after picking up the loose quinoa, which is nearly impossible, by the way. Those things are so small. Do you have any idea how small, like, loose dry quinoa is spilled out onto a parking lot?
You told me not to talk. Do you want me? You're asking.
Sorry, don't interrupt me. And then you enter the car, and she sees, boom, we rack focus from her nose to the air freshener. And over black or maybe like a really dark blue, we see the text. What? Sorry, can you not interrupt? We see the text. What was it again?
Of course. Of course you already forgot. You wanted to shoot a commercial where someone spends the entirety of it picking up loose quinoa from the hot asphalt. You couldn't even remember the dumb slogan you came up with. You want to put it over a blue screen? You can't.
You'll never forget your first shit stick.
That was so far from what the original idea was. So
what was
far.
It?
You can't turn your back on a smell, is what you said. Then you pitched a commercial where some woman's daughter runs over her leg with a shopping cart. She picks up quinoa. And
perfect.
No, it's not.
I'm feeling like Draper-ish.
You've brought no one to tears. It's so stupid. I don't even know what you're trying to sell.
Oh, Camry, Toyota Camry.
Toyota Camrys? With you can't turn your back on a smell.
Yeah, well, it's a
conjuring an image of like a terrible, terrible day.
It's a
hurt
December
ankle
to remember
and picking
sales
up quinoa
event.
Hmm.
It's a December to remember sales event, actually. So that's why it's a car commercial.
So you're not even pitching a commercial. You're pitching a sale.
Yeah. So it starts off with like $100, $200 for the car, and then like we'll go up from there until people stop buying them.
Draper never pitched sale ideas, coupons.
Like pricing?
He doesn't pitch pricing. That's what the...
Yeah,
that's...
we're a complete soup to nuts digital ad agency. So we'll do pricing, logos, taglines, commercials, whatever. Jingles.
On the pricing front, because I do want to get to jingles. What was the pricing for the Toyota?
We start at 100 and then we add $1 to every car sold until people stop buying them.
Okay. So the first Toyota I could buy for $100.
Yeah. And then the next one would be 101. Right. And then 102, 103 until we reach whatever sticker price is.
Okay. And that's when people, and so these manufacturers are losing tens of thousands of dollars on a car with that
at
price point.
Yeah. At the front. But then on the back end, you start making it back when people start buying Toyotas for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Which, no, they'll only do that up to a point. No one will buy a Toyota for $70,000. It stops being a sale. It starts being a huge markup on a mid-class car.
Okay. Relax.
Okay, so you can't do the pricing. Let's hear the jingle.
well, now you're all in my head about this shit. But it was, I was thinking of like, so like, I'm not even like that musically talented, but like,
no, you're not. You're not musically talented at all. You're also bad at setting the price and coming up with the commercials. But let's hear the jingle. Because you said your soup to nuts ad agency does jingles.
Toyota, I'm loving it.
Okay, so you mispronounced, first of all, bad voice, terrible singing voice. You mispronounced the name of the company, Toyota. And then you said, I'm loving it, which you stole from McDonald's.
I stole. I stole a car. I didn't steal a jingle.
Sorry, you stole a car?
I took a car.
When?
I took my mom's fucking car as research.
Okay. As research for how to sell a Toyota and set pricing. You stole your mom's car.
Oh my God, stole.
You said stole. You said
she
took.
She asked me to move it to the driveway. I took it for a year.
You're a bad son and you're a bad executive. Don Draper doesn't do this.
But Dick Whitman does.
He sure does. Sorry, I have to take a call.
Oh my God.
Hang on 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, baby. I got in a car accident.
Holy shit.
I was 2 blocks away.
Liar.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was crazy. No, I'm okay. I'm going to be there I have to hoof it, so I'll be there in 30 seconds. Please
liar.
Don't order.
Instantly provable
Please
liar.
Don't order. Or if you really need to order, text me a picture of the specials or text me the specials. But I'll be there. Honestly, just don't even order because we're moving. Sorry. I'll be there in 30 seconds. 30 seconds. I'm hoofing it now.
She's going to know. All right. She's going to know.
I love you so much.
I love you so
Ciao.
Much. Nice.
All right. I bought myself right. Not much time, but...
No, not much time. 30 seconds is what you bought yourself.
Any little bit helps. So, let's right. close out this beast.
Yeah. This is a question from another dude. Any ideas for a name?
Friggin' Chad. Chad, whatever gets it done. I have to be in Midtown an hour and a half ago. So,
yeah. Yep.
Whatever gets it done.
Here comes Chad. This bachelor has finally settled down and found someone he truly likes. Here's some context. We've been dating for 4 months, and she said, I love you for the first time a few days ago. So Ooh. I'd say things are going well. She yeah. goes out of her way for me in a lot of ways, like bringing me meds when I'm sick, being my chauffeur around town. However, we both had our birthday this month, which are 2 days apart. I went all out and booked us an Airbnb for the weekend, planned activities, got her a portrait of her dog. I paid for everything, and it ended up being a $300 weekend. Her gift to me was a gift basket, maybe $50 worth of items. I'm not someone who wants the equivalent gift, such as $300 worth of items, but come on! I was slightly annoyed, but didn't get really pissed till I found out she is currently broke because she overdrew her account. The reason? She spent $300 on clothes this month on herself. That's right, she is a shopping addict and buys herself everything. She said she almost got me a shirt, but it was $20 and too expensive. Are you fucking kidding me? You need 3 bodysuits but can't get a damn shirt for my birthday? Am I being dramatic here? I feel like this was super selfish and she could have gotten me a little more instead of putting herself first and spending so much so as to overdraw her account. She definitely has a problem. Let me know and I appreciate any advice you can give. Seize the cheese.
Seize the cheese indeed. Does he want our advice? It sounds like he came to his own conclusion.
He's mad at her.
She has a problem. All right. Thanks, guys.
She got a gift basket. And it should have been a shirt in addition to the basket.
Yeah. I want a shirt in a basket.
I want a tisket, a tasket, and I want a gift basket. What's a gift basket? What do you think's in that for a birthday?
A birthday gift basket? I would say
a candle and a summer sausage.
No, it's got to be like, I would hope it's at the very least, I hope it was like she made it. So it's like, oh, this guy, he loves Famous Amos cookies. So there's some cookies in there. And
oh,
maybe
that's
like
nice.
A new baseball hat and like a framed picture of them. I feel like it's mostly like food and little stuff, inside jokes, you know?
Yeah.
A Pez dispenser.
You want it to be a thoughtful gift basket. You don't want it to just be a regular gift basket.
So number one, I'd look at that. If she put thought and time into it, then it actually is a good gift, even though you don't think the money adds up. Two, I feel like the problem is not that like she didn't spend enough money on you or that she's a shop. I mean, it sounds like she has... You guys just don't have a lot of money, so you guys shouldn't stress about getting each other gifts.
Yeah, she's overdrawing. It seems like there's two issues here. One, you're sad that she didn't give you a gift commensurate with your own. And two, you think that she has some sort of spending issues, like financial irresponsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Which financial irresponsibility is maybe... That's definitely more valid, because it's not good to overdraw your account. And if you want to spend a long time with somebody, you do want to... learn what their spending habits are and where their values in that sense lies. That's like one of the things that Jill and I had to talk about before we got married. But I don't think that like stacking up what you got her versus what she got you is very healthy or fair. The other thing I would mention, he's like, everybody has different love languages. You know this, right?
Oh yeah, like gifts, acts of service, physical affection.
Yep, and it sounds like she maybe gives you acts of service, i.e. driving you around town and hand-delivering your medication. So, like, she does shit for you. She says she loves you. And she's proving it in certain ways, but you think she hasn't proved it with her gift-giving, which I think as long as she's doing the other stuff, that's fine.
Yeah. Don't worry too much about how much money she spent on you.
Yes. If you didn't
worry
like the
about,
basket, I just don't think it's ever good to be like, I didn't like what you got me for my birthday.
Yeah. You never want to be mad at a gift. The fact that you got a gift is good.
Yeah.
I think you should worry about the gift that you need to give Jill's father, is it?
Yeah. So he has this cool old watch that never worked. And Jillian and I had this nice idea. She like took it from his jewelry box and we brought it to this like watchmaker in Lower Manhattan, and he said he could fix it. And I was supposed to pick it up, and I have, so actually the thing is, I was also supposed to I was supposed to drop it off there last week, because otherwise he's not even gonna, so this watchmaker, I don't know how long it takes to fix a watch, but I was supposed to give it to him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, we chatted on the phone
weeks.
And he said he can fix it. I just have to it to him.
You realize you're getting further and further away from this dinner, and you're lying about being closer and closer to the dinner. You really need 2 weeks.
Excuse me?
Are you talking to me or are you on the phone again?
No, sorry, I'm just a little distracted because I'm looking up how to get to this fucking watchmaker, because I have to... I can't show up empty-handed is the thing.
You can't show up. You told her you were soaking wet, getting honked at, afraid, crying.
Yeah.
That was like 10 minutes ago. You said you were 30 seconds away. How many missed calls do you have at this point?
I have 14 missed calls, but they're not all from Jill is what I'm going to say. Don't say yeah. Yeah. I have 14 missed calls.
How many are from Jill?
10 are from Jill and 2 are from her dad.
That's still 12.
2 are from her mom.
Got it.
God. Fucking.
They're all from the dinner.
Who are you, AT&T? You need to look at my phone bill or something?
No, I don't care about your fucking phone bill.
The guy.
Forget it.
The watch shop is closed. Great. Good job. Good job, Blumenfeld. You kept me on the fucking podcast for 45 freaking minutes and it closed. Yeah.
That's a normal amount of time to do a show.
So now I'm showing up empty-handed to this dinner.
I wanted to record at 5, and you said, actually, can we push to 6? I'm running late. And then at 6, you said, hold on a second.
What
I'm too busy.
I'm running. Let's record at 6. I'm running late. Like, I had to go on a run. Don't just be like, oh, Jake is late to shit. I was not late to shit. I had a plan, and it was to go on I was exercising.
No one to blame but yourself.
I was exercising, really? So I can't exercise? I have to be at your beck and call to record a podcast? No, I was exercising. So I said, let's record the podcast later. And now I had 5 minutes to do the podcast, and you made me fucking stretch it out to where we're closing in on nearly 50 freaking minutes. And now I'm late to dinner, and the watch shop is closed. So I'm showing up empty-handed to this dinner. And honestly, I wonder if I'll even get to eat because Jill just texted that they did order.
Of course you won't be able to eat.
They did
order. You're worried about being able to eat? You're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to be able to eat.
Okay, let's just end this show quickly so I can...
Yeah.
I can get there. I'm going to try to text.
Yeah, that's our time. If you got your own questions or theme songs, send them to ifireshow@gmail.com. Opening one written by Justin Goncalves, as usual. And this closing one is written by Thomas Meskill, who makes music under the name AP Macroeconomics.
Very cool.
Wow. He Weird Al'd myself and parodied a song of himself called Flower Child. Hope we like it. So thanks,
sure,
Thomas. And
we
thanks,
will.
Justin. Thanks to you guys for listening. Of course, we'll be back next week. We're always back next week.
Every week. Now, I'm just going to quickly call Jill. We can stop recording.
Fine. Stop recording.
Oh, hi. Yeah, you ordered? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Can you explain why you ordered when I'm standing outside the restaurant trying to get in?
Trying to get in. You don't know how a fucking
door works. I can't find the door, babe. That's why I'm late. This restaurant that you chose is, I feel like it's the Skull and Bones.
Oh,
I can't get
God.
In.
You're so
okay,
bad.
I'm outside.
You're not.
I can't believe you ordered.
Not.
I can't believe you ordered. All right, I'll be right in. I found the door.
Jake and Amir have advice that you should hear. One's a nerd. One is fun, one cool dude and one chipmunk. If I were you, here is what they would do. Might be dumb, won't be right, but Jake will get the golden mic. Listen to If I Were You.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And
why
don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.